The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. No one else will do.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" So if you're living life, you don't believe there's a Creator, and you're hoping for something pleasant at the end of your life, please think again. You're in for a nasty shock. If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven?" Which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority if they do not have a personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life. So once again, if you're living life as a person who believed once and then have carried on living as though the Almighty doesn't exist, you're also in for a nasty shock when you die. If, on the other hand, you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and Yeshua. The Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to talk about who is Yeshua. Overview. This broadcast examines the question, who is Yeshua? You may know him as Jesus. Incorrectly. It is stated that Yeshua is the mightiest created being in the entire creation. It is explained that Yeshua has a glorious resurrected physical body. It is noted that he can hear and see every one of us concurrently and that he represents us. It is pointed out that he shows us the way by example of great love and obedience. It is noted that he has great spiritual powers. We discuss that Yeshua lived as an Old Testament prophet. We consider how Yeshua accomplished what he did. And finally, we examine some questions relating to your relationship with the Almighty Creator. Introduction. Who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a strategic management consultant. I have 27 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993. When he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13 and served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair which, when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had gotten me into a right mess, and chose to serve him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering trainer of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts for previous broadcasts. That's relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Questions from last week's program. What is this video you talk about? About a month ago, I recorded a video about the choices that faces one in life and that impact on what happens when you die. If you look at the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org, right at the top of the menu, you'll see in capital letters, video, why seek relationship, most important. Strongly recommend that you watch that video. Where is the website? It's www.endtimeissueministries.org. How close of a shave are we talking here? This is talking about shaving your body. As a minimum, you can take a safety razor and pass it lightly over your body. You can even do that if you've got some clothes on. But ideally, you want to actually shave. In other words, that you lather up with shaving foam and you literally shave the hair off your body, leaving only the hair on your head and your eyebrows. And if you're a man, if you really want to go all out, you can shave your head as well. Women should never shave their heads. Beth asked, wait, do we pour red grape juice or red wine on us or oil? I could not write it all down so fast. Beth, first you pour red grape juice or red wine and you massage that in all over your body. You're anointing, smearing. And then as a second step, you do it with the oil. Ben asked, you were saying we could do this as a group. Ben, you could do it as a group, but to answer Missy's question, do we perform this in the nude? The anointing with oil and the anointing with the blood of the covenant, the grape juice or wine, you need to apply all over your body. In particular, you need, if you've been sexually promiscuous, if you've had more than one sexual partner, you particularly need to do this to your sexual organs. So as a general thing, you're either going to do it on your own or you're going to do it together with your significant other, sort of just the two of you. So typically you would do it in the shower, in a behind a closed door. It's not something that you would typically do as a group. The triple immersion you can do as a group. I've done a triple immersion with four of us together at once, and that was very powerful. Missy asked, do we perform this in the nude? Yes, Missy, as I've just said, ideally you need to do it in the nude. If you're going to do it in a swimming costume, then the swimming costume should be as brief as possible, and you need to apply the grape juice and the oil as comprehensively as you can, and possibly then separately go to the bathroom and just take your pants off and do the rest. Easier to do it in the nude privately. Next question, how do we keep them, the demons, from joining back to us? You keep them from coming back to you by living a life free of sin. So you do all the processes, etc., in the document Seven Components of Drawing Close to the Almighty. You get free of sin. You read up and understand what sin is. You understand the commandments. You keep the commandments. If you are free of sin, the demons cannot touch you. Even if you've got demons on you, they can do nothing as long as you're free of sin. So the key thing here is to get free of sin, grow in truth, and then they can't come back to you. How do we know they're totally removed from us? That's a process. You may find that you've done something and it was something you hadn't repented of, so the demon didn't have to leave. So you may find yourself having unclean thoughts. You may have find pride manifesting or whatever, and you need to then go back, dig down, find out the sin that's given that, or the curse that's given that thing the right to be there, cut that off and get rid of it. It is a process. You need to have a deep relationship with Father. You need to learn to hear His voice so that He can guide you. Joey R. stated, I feel so dirty. I was having naughty thoughts as I listened to you explain these things to us. Am I worthy to be a friend of the Almighty with these thoughts? Joey, I hear what you say. Unless you have gone through a detailed cleansing process, you are going to have demons. I'm not being ugly. It's simply the way it is. As long as you've got demons, they're going to try and trip you up. So what it sounds like is you've got a demon of lust or something similar that's trying to prevent you taking on board what I was teaching. So they're giving you naughty thoughts. And then there's another demon, of a religious demon or something like that, saying, well, you having these naughty thoughts, you can't possibly have a relationship with the Almighty. The Almighty will meet you where you are. He will help you to get free. You have to do the work to get free. If you get free of all demons and you discipline your thoughts and you discipline your minds, you will eventually stop having those thoughts. Question number 10, what video program is there? That's the one I referred to a minute ago. Go to the top of the menu on the website. Why would he have to admit defeat? Can't good prevail? That relates to Satan being defeated. The way things are, Satan is beyond redemption. He has chosen all evil. And the rules of the contest require that if he's defeated, he will be thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone and destroyed. And it's important to understand there, folks, from Father's point of view, there is no compassion for somebody who is all evil. At the end of the day, those who have turned against Father, those who have rejected Father, those who say He doesn't exist, are of no consequence to Him. The only reason that they still are around is because of the contest. Apart from that, if they lose the contest, they'll be thrown into the incinerator, and that's it, the same way that you throw trash into an incinerator. No emotion involved. Good cannot then take over creatures that have been in evil for 7,000 years. So let's move on to today's topic. Who is Yeshua? Let me just give you a quick thumbnail history, and then over the next couple of weeks, I will go into various aspects of Yeshua in detail. So you may know him as Jesus, not a correct name. Jesus is derived from a Greek name. Yeshua was a Hebrew, a Jew. During creation, the Almighty created a spirit being to help him. The spirit being assisted the Almighty in all sorts of ways and was very close to the Almighty. After Satan rebelled and was cast out to earth, the Almighty and this spirit being agreed that the spirit being would be placed in the body of a human being to live a life free of sin, die a terrible death to fulfill prescribed rites for forgiveness, and if successful in living a life free of sin and dying without sinning, he would become king of all human kings and rule in heaven alongside the Almighty Creator for eternity. When he came to earth, he was born of a virgin and was named Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation, Yah being the true name of the Almighty. You may incorrectly know him as Jesus. This broadcast and those that follow will discuss in detail who he really is, how he accomplished what he accomplished, etc. As always, this is going to be based on a series of my articles. This first one was written in January 2011, titled Yeshua is the Mightiest Created Being in the Entire Creation. This article seeks to present the main attributes of Yeshua as he is today, as I understand it. The basics: He was conceived of a virgin, lived a sinless life, was executed, resurrected, and is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So in simple terms, Yahshua was born of Miriam, incorrectly known as Mary, who was a virgin when she conceived. That Yahshua was conceived is a creative miracle, less dramatic than the creation of Adam. He was born in Bethlehem about 2,000 years ago, and that he lived a life without sin. He was falsely accused, beaten, tortured, and executed by the leaders of his day, and nailed to a stake, incorrectly called a cross, and died. Folks, the basic story of Yeshua, generally attributed to Jesus, is well known. The things that are unclear to most people are firstly that by being born of a virgin, he had no inherited curses. And the second thing is that the creative miracle was not nearly as great as the miracle of the creation of Adam. So please don't get confused because he was born of a virgin and it was a miraculous birth that somehow he's the Almighty in the flesh. Because he'd lived a life without sin, he was resurrected and he lives at the right hand of Father Yah, the Almighty. He died to provide a new covenant whereby our sins could be forgiven and to usher in a new priesthood so that we had access to the throne of Yah, the throne of grace, where Yahshua is our advocate. This was necessary because the priesthood introduced through Moshe, Moses, had become so corrupt that they were no longer doing what was required of them, and also in order that a single believer anywhere in the world had direct access to the Almighty through faith in Yahshua without having to rely on any other human being, through faith through Yahshua, not in Yahshua. Folks, the biggest thing to know about Yahshua is that he lived without sinning once. That is the miracle of Yahshua, and that is the stretch target for each one of us, to come to a place where we are free of sin and stay free of sin and live the rest of our lives without sin, so that when we die, we are instantaneously resurrected into heaven without having to go and be judged in hell for unconfessed and unrepented sin. It is so important to know that it is possible to live without sin, and more importantly, that it is Father Yah's expectation that we should live without sin. When I first started to realize this, people challenged me left, right, and center. They said, we can't live without sin. It's a very feeble argument, folks. Yeshua did it as a straightforward human being. So why can't you? You can aspire to sit on the second highest throne in heaven, on the left hand or right hand of Yeshua. Those thrones are both vacant still. It is up to you to determine if you will seek Yah for this, lay down your life, get filled with the Spirit of Yah to a massive extent, and be obedient to death if necessary in order to do what he's calling you to do. Perhaps you cannot see yourself being obedient at that level, but there are still lesser thrones available. Refer to the ebook, Where Will You Spend Eternity, which is available on the website. See the Where Will You Spend Eternity menu item, or get hold of the book, The Final Quest by Rick Joyner, which reports a series of visions that are profoundly important in this context. You can buy The Final Quest on Amazon. It's available in most local areas of Amazon, and you can also find an electronic copy on the website under the Eternity menu item. The only factor in achieving this is your willingness to serve Yah faithfully for the rest of your life and be obedient. The field is wide open. No one today is living their lives the way they should. Not one. What are you willing to do in order to get to a place of deep favor and gratitude from Yah in this age. Folks, such a challenge. It's so easy to not do what I'm talking about here. That's what the whole world's doing. I challenge you to be different. Yeshua has a massively glorious resurrected physical body, and he can manifest in different forms. We read in Acts in the account where Yeshua appeared to Saul, incorrectly called Paul, that Yeshua appeared with a brilliant light. I've heard firsthand accounts of others who have been visited by Yeshua or taken up into heaven that his appearance is awesome and spectacular. This does not make him Yah. It simply confirms that he has great powers as a consequence of his obedience. It's so important to understand this whole life is a qualifying round to determine your rank for eternity. You can choose to be extremely obedient, seek a deep relationship with Father Yah, focus your life on serving him, and reap a great reward. Or you can just carry on doing whatever it is you're doing, maybe going to church now and again, maybe even going to church fairly regularly, but not really getting close to Father. And you might still make it into heaven at some level, as I've discussed in previous programs. Think about it. Huge opportunity. You could have a resurrected physical body, only slightly less glorious than that of Yeshua, if you really serve Father faithfully to full potential for the rest of your life. Even if you do not reach your full potential, a glorious body of some degree is entirely within your grasp. Note also that Yeshua can also manifest with an absolutely ordinary human body, as he did to the two on the road to Emmaus, and also when he appeared and made breakfast on the beach and in other situations. So too can messengers manifest with human-like bodies. When I say messengers, I'm saying angels. Folks, it's important to understand that to the extent that the Bible is a fairly useful, or the New Testament of the Bible, the four Gospels, is a fairly useful historical account of Yeshua's life on earth. It's worth reading. But in doing that, be aware of the translation errors that I speak of from time to time. Do not read a Bible with a commentary. Read a clear Bible. I recommend the Amplified, the Scriptures by the Institute of Scripture Research, the King James Version. Those are available on Amazon. There's not many others that I would recommend that you read. If you read those three that I've just given you, starting with the King James, then the Amplified, and then the Scriptures, that's about as much as you need to read of the Bible. Yeshua can hear and see every one of us concurrently and represent us before Yah as priest and advocate. Think about it. The only way he can be your advocate is if he can see what's going on in your life. Yeshua has the ability to hear and see every one of us and to manifest to different people around the world concurrently. As I understand it, any person who qualifies to spend eternity in heaven has the ability to hear what we are saying on earth and see what we are doing from heaven. and is able to do this for more than one conversation or event concurrently. Not necessarily anywhere near the level that Yeshua can do this, but again, as I understand it, this is a function of the seniority of that person in heaven. Somebody asked last week if the Almighty could see what we do in our bedrooms. And I made the observation that not only the Almighty, but if your parents were believers, your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents and whoever is in heaven can see what you do. So you might want to think about that in terms of the way you live the rest of your life, because what you do in private is actually not very private to the people in heaven. So worth possibly some thoughts about some of the things maybe that you do that you think nobody's watching you. I don't think that's a big issue, because at the end of the day, Father can see everything that you do, but you might still want to think about it. Yeshua shows us the way by example, great love and obedience to Yah that led him to die for us. No other human being has demonstrated the level of love and obedience that Yeshua demonstrated when, with the full legal right to get off the stake at any moment, he chose to remain there and die that terrible death. If you desire a high throne, you need to ask yourself if you're willing to be obedient even unto unjust torture and death, and if you're willing to seek to live a life without sin. The challenge is huge, but then so is the opportunity. Now, there's something to understand about Yeshua's death that is really important, and most people miss this. Yeshua was not taken prisoner, tortured, beaten, humiliated, and put to death in a terribly gruesome, painful, agonizing way because there was sin in his life. There was no sin. Yeshua spent 3.5 years provoking the high priests and the Pharisees and the scribes with his behavior. He overturned the tables of the money changers in the temple. He performed miracles on the Sabbath. He healed people on the Sabbath. He reprimanded them for their error and their sin. He taught truth to replace their man-made erroneous laws. And he eventually provoked them so much that they decided that he had to be killed before anybody else followed in his footsteps. So they killed him because he was free of sin, not because of sin. And that is unique amongst human beings. Every other believer that goes through anything bad is going through that thing that's bad for them because of their sin. Yeshua was different. Yeshua has massive spiritual powers. I've already alluded to this. Yeshua has massive spiritual powers. I do not have a revelation of the details of these beyond what I've already shared. I simply know they exist. But he is still a created human being. The critical point never to forget is Yeshua is a human being just like you or I. You can aspire to almost comparable glory and power if you are willing to follow Yeshua's example. If you make the huge blasphemous mistake of believing that Yeshua is Yah, you lose sight of the reward that is available to you and set your sights in serving Yah far too low. I've come across people who have met Yeshua physically, had him appear to them. And they've seen how glorious his body is, how powerful it is, and they have mistakenly assumed, because of that, that he is Yah in the flesh, God in the flesh. Not so, folks. If you or I live a life, the rest of our lives without sin, get into a deep personal relationship with Father Yah, you too will have a massively glorious resurrected body in heaven. And if you come to earth and appear to people on earth, they too will see you as massively glorious, and they will probably fall down and worship you too. And that's not why you should do that. You should do it because you want to please Father and you want to be his friend for the rest of your life and for eternity. So in conclusion, the bottom line, Yeshua is spectacularly powerful and glorious. You can be almost as powerful and glorious if you choose to follow his example fully. Or failing that, you can still be significantly powerful and glorious following resurrection if you're willing to pay the price of living without sin. How serious are you about serving Yah and overcoming to the end? This series of broadcasts, but the actual core message is about 40 minutes, once a week for 2 years. If you were to go and listen to every one of the messages that I've broadcast over the last nearly 2 years, or get the transcripts off the website and apply them, you would find that you would get really close to Father. Now, you obviously got to do it with the right heart attitude. If you pray the right prayers, etc., that are given, it's absolutely doable for you to get close to Father. So if you think about it, roughly 100 broadcasts, 3/4 of an hour per broadcast, so that's 75 hours roughly. So in 1 week, or maybe 2 weeks, you could listen to all of those messages. It would take you a bit of time to put them into practice. But it's entirely achievable, in my view, if you put everything in the article, 7 components of drawing close to the Almighty, into practice. In 2 years, you can come to a place where you are really close to Father. And I challenge you and I encourage you to do that. Next article, August 2012. Title, Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet. I continue to encounter great error in the way people understand Yeshua, incorrectly Jesus, and what he accomplished and how he accomplished it. A major error relates to understanding of who and what Yeshua was. Bearing in mind that there is no such thing as Old and New Testaments, for the point of this broadcast, let me make the point that Yeshua was an Old Testament prophet or spokesman of Yah. Moshe, incorrectly Moses, referred to him as a prophet like me or a spokesman like me. Important to understand that prophet is also an incorrect word. It's a meaningless word. It actually means spokesman, spokeswoman, spokesperson. Yeshua referred to himself as a spokesman, as a prophet. He had not shed his blood yet, so there was no new covenant, and he had not been resurrected yet, so there was no supernatural resurrected king. He also stated that he had come to fulfill the Torah, the laws of Moshe, not change them. He said that not one jot or one tittle, the smallest Hebrew characters of the laws of Moses, would fall away. That is so important, folks. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is one continuum of historical record of the interactions between human beings and the Almighty Creator. And then it goes silent 2,000 years ago. And in fact, it really has almost nothing from about 2,000 years before that. So the Bible really covers a period of about 2,000 years out of a total of 6,000 years. But for the sake of this, let's regard Yeshua as a prophet before the Old Testament, which is supposedly what he ushered in. So Yeshua walked in the same prophetic office as Noah, as Moshe, as David, etc. He was only able to do more than they were because he was born of a virgin and therefore free of inherited curses. And because as a spirit being, he'd lived with Yah from the beginning of creation and therefore knew fully what was going on and what he was letting himself in for. Therefore, Yeshua did not change anything. He came and explained things that had been lost and forgotten, clarified things and demonstrated to the people of his time what was possible if one was truly set apart, incorrectly sanctified, and serving Yah and filled with the Spirit of Yah. In this process, he deeply offended the chief priests, scribes, and Pharisees, such that they eventually were so provoked they called for his death. If you only read the so-called New Testament, you will make huge errors. The only way to understand Yeshua is to read from Genesis to Revelation as one continuous account of the interactions between man and Yah. The same applies to my writings and other modern writings. They are all part of one continuum. It's such a big mistake to think that Yeshua completely turned things on their head. He didn't. What you've got to see is there's been an ongoing progressive degradation of human beings relative to the Almighty. And as it's got worse and worse, Father has done different things. So he brought Moses, he brought Yeshua, he brought Muhammad, he brought Martin Luther, and so on. It's one continuous degradation, and Father repeatedly doing things to turn things around as best he can. It's really important to understand it was the Spirit of Yah, not Yeshua, that performed the miracles, raised the dead, etc. It's time to cease deifying Yeshua and return to the truth that he was a prophet or spokesman of Yah and operated in that authority. Because he lived a life without sin, he was granted to become a King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he gained eternal life. You and I are capable of doing all that Yeshua did, with the exception that he was the firstborn from the dead and has become ruler of all. We must therefore all submit to him as our head in a human sense. That this does not mean that he has in some way become Yah or substitutes for Yah. Relate to Yahshua as a king in a human sense. Period. Conclusion. There is considerable misunderstanding regarding Yahshua. He was an Old Testament prophet and therefore could not change anything. He could only fulfill what was written about him. So there are so-called prophecies regarding Yeshua. Statements of intent is what I would prefer to call them. Instructions to the prophets of his time to pray for him to come and so forth. Written in December 2010, how did Yeshua accomplish what he did? There is a lot of confusion about who Yeshua is and how he accomplished what he did. Many people believe that the only way Yeshua could have accomplished what he did and have the authority that he has is by being the Almighty in the flesh. However, this is incorrect. If Yeshua were the Almighty in the flesh, then he would have no authority on earth and he could not have accomplished anything on earth. It is only by being entirely human that Yeshua could accomplish anything. This article provides an overview of the main elements of what Yeshua accomplished and how he accomplished what he accomplished. Folks, so important to understand that. The rules of the contest, the rules of engagement, say that neither Satan or Yah can do anything on earth except through a living human being. The only way Yeshua could have victory over Satan was for Yeshua to be 100% human. Otherwise, he would have had no authority over Satan whatsoever. So to believe that in some way Yah camouflaged himself as a human being and came to earth and did what he did what Yeshua did, it's just really silly, folks. It's not like that. Yeshua was created by a creative miracle in the womb of Miriam, or in the fallopian tubes of Miriam. That's it. And the miracle was not nearly as great as the miracle of the creation of Adam and Lilith. Before I address this issue, let me first define some terms. The correct name of the man commonly known as Jesus Christ is Yahshua, the anointed of Yah. He was a Yehudite or Jew, and therefore his name cannot be Jesus, which is based on a Greek name, Iesus, which is derived from Zeus, a pagan idolatrous name, the name of a Greek god. Iesus means blessed of Zeus. Christ relates to the outpouring or anointing of the Spirit of the Almighty on the flesh of a human being. Thus the Spirit of the Almighty came upon Yeshua at the time he was immersed by Yehuchanan, incorrectly John. Thus until the age of 30, Yeshua was not anointed. He was not Christ. When we refer to Christ, that is the anointing, we refer to the Spirit of the Almighty, that is the Almighty. Thus one who is anointed will at some level have the Almighty manifest in and through them. Again, so important, folks. So many people think that Christ is another name for Jesus. It's not. If you are a spirit-filled believer, you are a Christ, to use the incorrect word correctly. You're an anointed one. You're filled with the Spirit of the Almighty. Yeshua was a human being, a man, filled with the Spirit of the Almighty, and that is what enabled him to perform miracles. It was the Spirit of the Almighty on him and in him that spoke through him. So when you hear or you read of Yeshua speaking on behalf of Yah in the first person, that is the Spirit of Yah speaking through Yah, through Yeshua, not Yeshua in his own strength. Further, the word translated God, lowercase, or God, capital G, refers to a mighty one, lowercase m, or mighty one, capital M, capital O, or the Almighty, capital A. It is true that Yeshua is a mighty one, or God, lowercase, but it is false to say that he is almighty, God, uppercase. The word translated the Lord is Yahweh, or Yahweh, meaning Yah, the eternally self-existing. This is not the same as Adonai, also translated Lord or Baal, which can also be translated Lord. It breaks the third commandment to call the Almighty the Lord when he has clearly stated that his name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, or Yahweh, in over 7,000 places in the Bible. Thus, Yahshua is an Adonai, a Lord, but he is not the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, which is Yahweh. So a lot of confusion here in the language that is we're accustomed to as English speakers. The above points give rise to great confusion. Once the above points are understood, it becomes apparent that Yahshua is a man and that he lived for 3.5 years with the Spirit of the Almighty dwelling in and on him in a mighty way. But he is not the Almighty in the flesh or in disguise. It is blasphemy to suggest that he is. Once you get to understand what I've just outlined to you, it is much, much easier to realize that Yeshua was a man, is a man, and not Yah. Such confusion on that score. So I want to close by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator today. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Folks, I really urge you to take hold of this reality. The Almighty Creator, before he became Creator, was lonely. He set himself the task of creating intelligent beings with their own will who could be his friends, who he could talk to, who he could do things with. And after a lengthy period of time, millions, maybe billions of years, he finally created planet Earth and he created human beings. The sole reason this whole creation exists is for us to be friends of the Almighty. If you're not doing that, you're missing the whole point of why you're here. To wrap up, 5 key documents and a video on the main menu web pages. The video at the top of the menu, Why Seek Relationship Most Important, is the most important message I've ever created. I urge you to go to the website and watch that video. It's about 50 minutes. Ebooks, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, 7 Components in Drawing Close to the Creator, Recommended Worship, The Creator's Name is Yah, the Eternally Self-Existing, Where Will You Spend Eternity? All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. Those are all main menu items on the website, www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page and are physically available. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. The Google search is a bit of the way down the right-hand sidebar. Very, very powerful. If the content is on the website, you'll find it with that. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, that's another key piece. The contest draws to an end at the end of the 7th millennium, which is in about 3003, which is about 983 years from now. At that time, if there is at least one set apart, dedicated believer to call for Yeshua to return, Yah will win the contest. If there is not such a person, Yah will lose the contest. As things stand at the moment, it is very likely that Yah will lose the contest well before the end of the millennium. It's up to people like you and me to do the hard yards, get close to Father, get free of sin, spread this message, and pave the way for Yeshua to return. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. Good night. Father, I